What's up, biohackers? I've got to tell you about this delicious drink that I am sipping on. You know we try to eat clean, prioritize pure ingredients, especially when it comes to our protein powder. If we're not intentional with our sourcing, we could be exposed to so many harmful chemicals and toxins that are hidden in what appear to be healthy and nutrient-rich ingredients. This is why I got to tell you about PW1 whey protein powder from Puri. Puri is third-party tested against more than 200 contaminants. It's also free from hormones, GMOs, and pesticides. Bonus, it is soy-free and gluten-free. It has 21 grams of protein per serving, which makes it a really easy way to increase your daily intake, especially for our ladies out there. And what we all want to know when it comes to our nutrition, is it delicious? Yes, it really, truly is. I am drinking it every single morning these days. I've been pretty much drooling over the bourbon vanilla flavored protein powder in my morning nutrition stack. It's great in my coffee, my home-crafted smoothie, and actually works really well just in my shaker bottle with water. These ingredients are so simple. There's no added artificial sweeteners, so none of the bitter, cringy tastes that come along with a lot of healthy powders. It's just pure and so yummy. Puri is pure origin, potency, and peace of mind. They believe in full transparency with all of their products, including their PW1 whey protein powder. And each batch is certified by the Clean Label Project. Okay, but what does that mean? It is tested for heavy metals, bisphenols, residual solvents, and all of the other yucky stuff we do not want in our bodies. Lastly, every Puri product comes with a QR code with those specific batch test results, so you know exactly what you're getting. Of course, we always want to educate and empower you to be your own best health advocate, so don't just take our word for it. With Puri, you can find the real transparent data behind every single batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that we can easily trust. All right, so here's the details. Right now, Puri is offering our listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all of their other incredible products. Go now to our exclusive URL, puri.com/biohackerbabes, and use our promo code biohackerbabes. This will even apply to your already discounted subscriptions, and you'll get almost a third off of the price. They are being so, so generous with our audience. Go to puri.com/biohackerbabes. Do not wait. We have our promo code biohackerbabes at puri.com/biohackerbabes. This is nutrition made oh so simple. All right, biohackers, let's get back to the show.
That they found out that, you know, strong social support from friends and family, when they had those strong connections, it would actually have a protective shield over the brain and would actually help less mental deterioration as they aged.
Hey there, welcome to the Biohacker Babes podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Renee, a certified nutritional consultant with a master's degree in nutrition.
What's up? And I'm Lauren, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and Czech movement specialist. We're sisters and we're joining forces to empower you to become your own biohacker and upgrade your life.
Our mission is to provide actionable steps so you can optimize your health, strengthen your intuition, and support your body's natural healing abilities. Because life is too short to not feel your best every single day.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Welcome to episode 237 of the Biohacker Babes. My name is Renee. I'll be your co-host today along with my beautiful sister, Lauren. What's up, Lauren?
Hi, Nay. This is Lauren tuning in from Maryland today. And thank you. You're beautiful too. I love you.
I love you, sis. Mm-hmm. You're the best. You're the best. All right. We have some friends coming on for you today. Our guests are also known as the Relationship Renegades. So Emilio and Rachel, guys, this is just such exciting work, what they're doing. You know, Lauren and I talk a lot about how social connection and relationships and community is just so important in the biohacking space and not talked about enough. And the work that they're doing is really helping change that, you know, change the community space. So when you hear Relationship Renegades, you might just think a relationship with a significant other or spouse, but really they're talking about relationships with anyone you interact with, friends, coworkers, even just like the stranger on the street or your mailman or whatever, you know, just overall relationships. And they really link it back to what it's doing for our health and how important it is for health span, longevity,
overall health optimization. And they're just super fun. You know, definitely check out their Instagram and see what they're up to, because they're always posting hilarious educational reels on there. And they're just the cutest couple. I love them so much.
They are really adorable. And I agree with everything you say. Hopefully you didn't see my weird face. I had to sneeze. I muted it in time, but I was not making a face at you.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Stifling a sneeze. It didn't come, but spring is sprung, y'all. I really enjoyed them a lot. And I think such a big takeaway for me, and something that they alluded to and say explicitly, is like, this is about you. Like, you meaning me, meaning I have to do the work first. Like, if we really want to experience the benefits of like a flourishing relationship in our life, as you said, could be just with a cashier, mailman, romantic partner, we have to do the work ourselves. And that's something I always, like, a hard lesson I've learned through my own psychotherapy. Like, every time I wanted to point fingers or blame someone else, my therapist would be like, no, you, let's talk about you. I'm like, oh gosh. But it's so true.
Look in the mirror.
The more work you do on yourself, like, the more flourishing you get to benefit from in your relationship. So, they're just so inspiring because they've done the work. I really loved hearing about all of their failed relationships or all of their challenges in past relationships, and even with themselves. You can tell they've been through it. And that's always just the most amazing work, is to see people that have gone through it and are now really thriving.
Yeah, such a good point. And I will also say they're so passionate about their work. They are offering every one of our listeners a 30-minute discovery call for free. So check out the show notes to see how you can get that. But I think that's just awesome, because I think it's so personal, right? So whatever you personally want to work on, they are here for you. So amazing offer. Okay.
So generous.
So generous, yes. All right. So the Relationship Renegades, they are your guide to unlocking the ultimate biohack for healthy, happy, and a fulfilling life. Amelia and Rachel, the visionary duo behind Relationship Renegades, are on a mission to revolutionize the way we perceive relationships and how it relates to health span and longevity. Through a multitude of painful experiences that required complete surrender, coupled with extensive research and scientific exploration, Amelia and Rachel have unearthed the keys to attracting, nurturing, and sustaining healthy and happy relationships, a secret that has long been overlooked in the realms of biohacking and wellness. Bringing a combined 25 plus years of experience as filmmakers, speakers, certified human potential and HeartMath coaches, not to mention their shared journey as self-development enthusiasts since sixth grade, Amelia and Rachel employ this unique blend to unveil the transformative power of healthy, happy relationships through coaching, speaking engagements, and the creation of conscious media designed to elevate the collective consciousness. Their gifts and passions seamlessly bridge the worlds of entertainment, wellness, and relationships, paving the way for a future where healthy relationships become the new standard. Through Relationship Renegades and their diverse ventures in film, longevity, entrepreneurship, and beyond, they are not just changing lives, they are actively reshaping the very fabric of our society. Join them on this transformative journey towards a world where vibrant, meaningful connections flourish. So beautiful.
All right. So beautiful.
Let's bring them on.
Have some fun.
All right. Rachel and Emilio, the Relationship Renegades. Welcome to the Biohacker Babes. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
We're so excited to bring this conversation to our audience. I think, Emilio, I first met you at the Biohacking Conference maybe 2 years ago, and then we got to work at Elias's Health Span Summit last year together and stay in a wild, crazy Airbnb together. Some fun times, but now we finally get to have you on the podcast. And I love what you guys are doing. You are doing amazing work in helping people build meaningful connections with other people. And I love that you in your bio said it's the ultimate biohack. And I would agree. And I would say it's also maybe the missing biohack for a lot of people, because in the biohacking space, I think some people get really tied to the technology and the data and quantifying everything, that then they forget to like go out and socialize and be human. And so you guys are really bringing that to the space. So I love what you're doing. I'm excited to bring this to the audience. And I think to kick it off, it's really important to connect why this is important for health. Mm-hmm. And you guys did a great presentation at the HealthSpan Summit last year. And I think there was maybe a study from Harvard, something like that, you guys can talk about, where they actually were able to confirm that strong social connections increase longevity, health span. So kick us off with that. Like, what's the connection to health here?
Yeah. What do you want to
kick us off?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll start off, you know, given that this podcast is about biohacking, wellness, health span, all these things, mm-hmm. you know, I think as biohackers, we've been biohackers for 14, 15 years individually, you know, in our own journeys. And, you know, we often look at research and science and all the different things as we do as biohackers. And so, yeah, where we connected again at where we were doing an anti-aging relationships speaking engagement there.
Yeah.
We did reference a Harvard study that was the longest human development study ever done. It was an 80-year-long study where they tracked, you know, hundreds of people over 80 plus years, still doing it with the second and third generations. But they came out with a lot of things. All the research and scientists there, decade by decade, continued this, right? And these people were analyzed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, just in all ways, thorough analysis, all the labs, diagnostics, testing, psychology, neurological tests, like everything. And they wanted to find out what enabled us to live a long, healthy, happy life. And in the very beginning, they thought it was going to be genetics and long-lived ancestors and all these things. Mm-hmm. And time and time and time again, decade after decade, as different scientists and researchers continued the study, they found out, shockingly over and over, was that the number one thing was actually relationships.
Yes.
And we can start to maybe hit on some of those topics. You know, there was a lot of things that came out from this study. You know, let's say people that were satisfied in their marriages, like at age 50, and that they had healthy, warm relationships, mm-hmm. were, you know, healthier at age 80 going forward. Mm-hmm. That they found out that, you know, strong, you know, social support from mm-hmm. friends and family, when they had those strong connections, it would actually have a protective shield over the brain mm-hmm. and would actually help less mental deterioration as they aged. And so there was a lot of biomarkers that they talked about, whether it was from our brain health, our physical health, the gut health, all these different things that was like, oh, wow, when you did have these healthy, strong relationships, this is what happened. When you didn't, there was more emotional pain. There was more mood. There was more all these things as they aged.
Struggle. Yeah.
Right.
And that really that warm relationships, and it's really important to define what that means. Warm relationships doesn't just mean intimate relationships, but relationships of all kinds.
Yeah.
Even the small interactions that we make, meaningful interactions with our Uber driver or our cashier or
totally.
Our friends and family, or just strangers walking down the street, being able to look someone in the eye and say, hey, have you, you know, just some sort of meaningful interaction
yeah.
that I think our world is really struggling with because of the digital age that we live in. That those warm relationships were one of the number one stress regulators that helped get our body out of a state of inflammation and back into a state of peace and ease. And in that state, we know that we age less.
Yeah.
And a person hearing this might be like, well, duh, like you feel good when you're with your friends, like, you know,
yeah.
but I think, you know, they also did this survey, they surveyed millennials, and the main focus of those millennials was to get rich and to be famous.
Yeah.
And there was no
the majority
focus
of society right
of, like, hey, I want to be in a healthy, warm, happy relationship. I want to, you know, nothing like that. And, you know, rightfully so, we don't really have a lot of that in our education or even in media. It's the exact opposite. And
yeah.
I know I feel so passionate about this message because I was that. I was that person that would have answered those questions of like, yeah, I want to maybe not say particularly rich and famous, but basically.
Mm.
And I just got this message that the harder I worked, the happier and healthier and more loved I would be, the more successful I would be, therefore the more loved I would be. And I worked my freaking ass off every day to the point where I would get invited to go to lunches with friends or hangouts or whatever. And I would judge them. I would be like, I don't have time for you. Like, I have to work. I have dreams I am accomplishing. And I literally thought that they were like lazy or just like missing the ball. And I got that like hustle message and like, you know, you don't need sleep, sleep when you die, you know, like they're just
yeah.
going to waste your time and like just all that stuff. And I did achieve some pretty incredible things. Like I ended up achieving my major childhood dream of being in TV and film and acting in movies. And, but what was crazy and what pretty much anyone will tell you that has accomplished any sort of dream come true situation is that it's great for a moment and it feels awesome for a little bit. And then you experience this extreme drop where you, if you don't have those warm relationships and a strong social support, you experience what I experienced was a lot of loneliness, a lot of anxiety, a lot of like deep longing for this void that I didn't know how to fill because I kept trying to fill it with boyfriends or whatever other things that ended up in like very toxic, unhealthy situations because I didn't know how, because nobody ever really, I didn't learn in school. Most of us don't learn it from our parents. And it's just a really big world problem.
Yeah,
absolutely. Gosh, you touched on so many very powerful points already and answered so many questions that were coming up as you were talking. What do you think is the balance then? Because I think you probably resonated with a lot of people. They're like, oh yeah, that's me. Either I'm the workaholic and don't choose social relationships, or I'm the person that maybe considers myself lazy and I'm not going to do the work stuff because I would prefer that. That makes sense that like we're not being modeled that through our parents and the educational system, but how do we find the right balance for us individually? Because I assume it's going to look different for everyone. So how do we want to decide what that is? And then how do we make peace with that, depending on what the percentage should be for us?
Yeah. There's something coming up.
Yeah, go for it. I'll talk after.
Yeah. I was like, that hits hard for me because of just some client interaction they just had. And, you know, I'll make a bold statement and kind of unravel it. I believe that we're only always dealing with ourselves. You know, I think, you know, we often talk about in our relationship playground events, we do these trigger sketches that we were talking earlier here with Juan Pablo, my character and whatnot. But, you know, I think when we think about balance, if we're only always dealing with ourselves, right? Like if I get triggered with Rachel or you guys or you girls or a friend or a client or anybody or someone on the road, it's a gift. And there's ways that we talk about that. But before kind of hitting on that, I think going back to the question, then I'll kind of expand on it. I think the balance for us, we always talk about when I think you're only always dealing with yourself, I think about like a cup, right? And the more that we choose ourselves in a healthy way, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the more that we choose to do things that light us up, more of our purpose, our passion, things that we love, you know, it's like filling up your cup. And when that fills up, it starts to overflow into all your relationships. When I think balance, I think the balance that we practice, because we're not perfect, is to how can we choose ourselves in a healthy way so that, you know, by help, like to show up for Rachel is to show the best way that I can show up for Rachel is to show up for me. Because if I show up for me and I fill up my cup and I feel good, then that overflow can go to Rachel. And so same thing with friends and family and everything else. When we think about relationships with the balance, I think why not flip the script? Why not change the conversation of like, hey, as biohackers, we know that habits are everything, right? What morning routines, night routines, like how can we shift or adjust in this chapter? And maybe after hearing this podcast, like, okay, well, wow, the 80-year-long study said relationships are most important. How can I tweak some of my things to incorporate more time for me, more time for friends, more time for family? It doesn't have to be long, but meaningful, quality time that then fills your cup. And when you're feeling good, guess what, right? It's not a secret. It's not a hidden secret that like you start to attract more things. You start to vibrate more. You're at a higher frequency. People are like, wow, I want to be around you. And more abundant things start happening with the success that you want, with the dreams that you're trying to accomplish. So I think that's what's coming up for me is how can you choose in a healthy way yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, because that will then translate to everything else.
And tagging onto what he said, what's super interesting is that we can get in this mode of like, I have to work and I have to crush and I have to be behind a screen all day. And granted, there is like a time and place for that. There's also this other kind of mentality is that that person that you might be needing to meet that would exponentially grow your business, like might be at that coffee shop right across the street and they might be in line next to you. And if you had that habitual habit of just connecting with the person next to you, rather than like going to your phone, you spark a conversation with them. That's a meaningful connection. All of a sudden you end up meeting someone that could do like so much more than you could have ever done behind a screen.
Totally.
And so I think it is kind of having that balance. And I'm always about, you know, there is no one right way. And we all need to figure out what works best for our unique makeup because we're all so different. But checking in with yourself and being that scientist for yourself and experimenting with what does work for you in that balance of how can I set up my life so that I have enough time to work on the projects I want to work on, you know, with me behind a screen or whatever that looks like. And then how can I set up enough time where it's in the unknown, where I'm just literally going to different places to meet different people. And I'm experimenting with, with talking to them in different ways. And even things like one of my girlfriends is doing a 30-day rejection challenge that I love. Oh, yeah. So getting really familiar with getting rejected every day and literally going to actively going to different places and people and things, asking on purpose something outlandish. And what I love about this, of course, for most people, it's like, oh, I can't do that. It's terrifying. But it's amazing what happens. Like, she's sharing some videos that, like, she's like, went to her landlord and was like, hey, can I have free rent and like upgrade to a better apartment, but for free? And the lady was like, well, it's possible, you know, like, and she was like, what? It's possible? Like, I don't know. And she ended up having these amazing interactions with strangers that she would have never had. And, and it does give you, I know, things like that. I think thinking about it as, you know, your connection fitness time, have just like you've had, you know, your workout time, have you had enough connection fitness with people on a regular basis?
Yeah. I mean, that's so beautiful. I've definitely experienced all of that. Like, I feel like every time I'm like, I don't really want to go out tonight, but you know, my husband, Ryan, he's like social butterfly. He's like, let's go. I'm like, fine. And then I always meet someone or have some conversation that I'm so grateful for. And I had a funny experience recently. I was at a music festival and I'm in this long bathroom line and bored, just standing in this line. I started talking to the girl behind me. She is a biohacker, lives in Vegas. She is designing this new device, like biohacking device. She's an FDN practitioner like Lauren. Like, we have all of these crazy connections. Maybe you guys even know her. She's so connected in the space and I had never met her, but it was just because I turned around in the line in the bathroom to start talking to a stranger. Like, how weird is that?
Yeah, love that.
So, but I think with the idea of like being productive, and I can totally relate to, like, I can't go out and have a lunch date. I'm working. I don't take lunch. Like, well, what are you doing that you can take a lunch break kind of thing? But I think some of that is programmed as kids. And I know you guys talk a lot about this, whether it's like micro trauma, macro trauma, but just the programming that happens as kids. And I think Lauren and I are both kind of that way. We like to be productive. We like to be busy, and we've had to like kind of overcome that. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on like some of the programming that we maybe have to reprogram?
Yeah, that's the name of the game right there.
That's a big question.
More of the unbecoming than even the becoming. That is there. And man, I've had to go on a wild ride to reprogram some of that stuff.
Oh yeah. Cause you know, you come into this world, right? Like, you see kids, like, they haven't, they come and they're just like this ball of full love. And they're like, hey, let's play. I want to, hey, let's go in energy. And they're full of love. And then like, whether it's the parents, friends, teachers, whoever, like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Or no, you can't do that. Or no, you can't love this person. Or no, or you get heartbroken, or this happens. And it's slowly a dimming the light, is slowing the closing up the heart. That was like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk to that person. Oh, wow, I got heartbroken. I don't want to have that happen again. And it's like this closure and closure and closure and separation, separation, separation from ourselves, from each other, from the world around us, to God, source, universe, whatever you want to call it. And so I think when it comes to relationships, right, it's like, you know, I always maybe say a bold statement, unravel it, because there's so much to say. It's like, I think there's a thing about like surrendering to love. Like, it's a surrender, because we're so closed off because of things that have happened into our life, whether we're dating, whether it's a friend, whether it's a business partner, we don't trust people. And it's challenging and it's scary, especially the world we live in with all the different topics out there. And it's like, but we're a lot of meaning and a lot of gratitude and a lot of like heaven on earth experiences with relationships, and all relationships can be felt and experienced. And it's an act of courage to surrender to the unknown and to be willing to get, it's risky, right? Quote unquote, because someone can hurt you and someone can, you know, do all these things. However, if you're not being courageous like that, I would argue that you're just not living fully. And because there's such a beauty to surrendering to the river. We were talking about river earlier. So it's like one of our favorite quotes is, don't fight the river, be the river. And when you allow, like, oh, now I'm at this coffee shop. Oh, I'm going to talk to this person. Oh, I met this person. Oh, here. Oh my God, you're amazing. And just to allow the river to take us, there's so many exciting routes down that river or up the mountain, whatever analogy you want to use. But I feel like when it comes to relationships and love and surrender, I think I love talking about these things because, you know, especially in our relationship, like if I surrender to my ego and just like own my shit and say, you know what, babe, I was doing that. You know, I was trying to, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, yeah, I'm just super stressed. And I was being passive aggressive, right? I shouldn't have said that, you know, and we have a game about that. I think the more that we can surrender to life and to our ego at times and to each other, it allows us to like find the, you know, the parallels and the common ground that all of us have.
Yeah.
You know, and it just goes back to another favorite quote. I think it's Rumi or Ram Dass, but I love this thing of like, we're all just walking each other home. And, and just, and if we saw it that way, like what would the world look like? What would your relationships look like if we had that mindset?
I know he said so much. I just want to tag on that statement of courage. One of my favorite statements is to just to choose courage, that I always say, am I choosing courage? Am I choosing courage in this moment? And, you know, as biohackers, I think there's a lot of people that get really used to doing things like cold plunges, or they realize that they have to do things that might feel a little bit uncomfortable to get that effect that they're looking for, right? Whether it's fasting or cold plunges or you name it. I think it's looking at emotional triggers, like whenever you feel that feeling of like, oh, I feel triggered by this person or by this thing. You know, most of our patterns are to either suppress or deny or run away from those feelings that, you know, feel so uncomfortable. And what I love helping people invite them to see it as, to reframe it, is that these emotional triggers are just like cold plunges. Like if you allow yourself to just jump in and like feel the uncomfortability of it, like it sucks. It's hard. It's like not at all. But if you allow yourself to do that, and especially do some other things that he talked about, like owning your shit is a big one within when you're feeling that. Triggered. If you allow yourself to jump in that uncomfortable feeling and sit with it for a minute and dive in and unravel, you know, the ugly wrapping paper, you will always find this amazing, blissful feeling that is very similar to what it feels like when you get off out of a cold plunge.
Yeah.
And so I think that reframing can be so helpful because, you know, especially anything we practice, we get really good at. And most of us have practiced a lot running away from our triggers or suppressing them. And so, of course, it's going to feel different. Of course, it's going to feel uncomfortable. What's helped my brain, we rewire that, even in the sense of like, oh, I don't want to step away from work, or I don't want to go to that thing because I just want to be like by myself right now. One, with that, I think there's like really getting good at having a chapter of focusing on boundaries, because that's really important. And most of us aren't very good at that. So learning how to have really healthy boundaries, and then having maybe a chapter where you're really focused on being out in the world and saying yes to things, and then experiencing, you know, putting together your own balance of that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of tackled many things in that, but emotional cold plunges, and to choose courage and to, you know, we can talk about this all day long. The whole concept of what you talked about, babe, of, you know, we've done so many different events and speaking engagements, and we do workshops and whatnot. And the main thing that every single human struggles with, probably the most, that we've learned through this, is being able to let love in.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Like most of us suck at it. Like to really what it feels like to be able to receive love. Most of us get this message that it's all about like giving love and doing things for others and be of service, and which is all great. But we, most of us suck at really receiving love. And that has a massive effect on a life if you never really allow yourself to receive love.
True.
Yeah. So many thoughts popping up around safety, everything that you guys have said. And as kids, we're taught that it's not safe, right? To be our truth, or to question, or to step out of line. And so I think exactly what you said, Rachel, being courageous and believing that maybe that safety isn't as, or that believing that it's not going to be as scary as maybe we're anticipating it to be. And then practicing. So I'm curious, like, what are these little micro practices that we can bring into our everyday just to get, it's like riding a bike, right? Like we have to practice. It's not just going to happen overnight. How do we see this, like this idea of being safe in a different way?
Yeah.
100%.
I feel, so that's actually like a one main theme, a big theme at Relationship Renegades is, you know, if all else fails, sorry, somebody called me. It was an emergency call, but I think we're okay. So, you know, to that question, you know, safety is a big thing, right, in relationships. And the main theme in Relationship Renegades is if people forgot everything that we had talked about or principles or anything, right, it's one of the biggest things is how can I make my partner feel safe, seen, heard, and loved? You know, if all else fails, it's like, that's the go-to. That's the rule of thumb. Like, how can I create, how can I have Rachel feel safe, seen, heard, and loved? And if there's an argument, if there's a heated debate, if there's something going on, the question that always comes to my mind, just because I've repped it, we believe everything's a muscle, is, okay, no matter if I'm wanting to be right or wanting to prove a point or wanting to do whatever, if I pause for a moment and just say, does Rachel feel safe right now? Does Rachel feel heard right now? Does she feel loved? Does she feel safe? Because this is my wife. This is the person I love. Why wouldn't I want her to feel these things? And because I know if that cup is full, everything else works. And, you know, so I think about the balance, like, I really got to do this. I really got to do this. Well, if this isn't there, if this foundation isn't there and nurtured, you know, you think about a skyscraper, right? If we're going to build a skyscraper, if you don't have a solid foundation, it's going to crash inevitably. It is going to fall over 5 years, 10 years, 30 years down the line. And so that when I think about foundation, I really think about safe, seen, heard, and love. So to your point, so the safety, yeah. So I think practical tools or tips, right? So within Rachel and I.
Can I say something real quick about that?
Yeah, totally.
So safety and heard and loved, so freaking important.
Yeah.
One of the best ways to practice that, and where I feel like we should probably all start, is with ourselves. Because it is near impossible to create a safe space for someone else if you don't know how to do it for yourself. And whether you're single or you're in a relationship, really going within yourself and asking, what kind of space am I creating for my soul to live in? And I know for most of my life, the space that I created within me was very anxious and it was stressed and it wasn't safe in there. And so doing that deep inner work, and that could look like, you know, having a journaling practice. I know free writing for me has been just so freaking helpful. I think journaling gets really overlooked in the effectiveness that it can have. Granted, not all people are writers. So, you know, you have to find our own ways. For someone else, it might be, you know, having some sort of movement practice where, and sound practice where you're just blasting your favorite music and you're just moving and shaking your body and screaming out stuff that might be blocking you. Meditation, breath work, yoga, you name it. There's so many ways up the mountain. It really is finding your own things that work for you and being that experimenter for yourself. But I can't stress enough the practice of the proactive practice of how can you create a safer space within yourself so that you can hold space for other people. And this concept of, you know, I think safety and heard and loved within more close relationships, but when it comes to the fear and the safety out in the world with strangers, something, because there's two sides to this. I have this worldview, this story that like, everybody's great and everybody's gonna love me. And like, I'm never in danger, you know? And I see the best in people and I love people and I just want to talk to them. And, you know, yes, I have a very introverted side that also has my stuff, but you know, I think it's important to remember that, because I was talking to a mentor and I got all this stuff about, I was in a bad situation and then I trusted someone I probably shouldn't have. And I was like, but I don't, I was talking to my mentor and I was like, but I refuse to live in a world and feel jaded. Like I refuse to give that part of myself up because I don't talk to people and believe in possibilities and all these different things. And he said something that to me was really profound, was that you can love people, but trust has to be earned. Right. So out in the world, you can connect with a stranger and you can love people and you can, you know, hold space and you can communicate, you know, and practice that muscle of getting uncomfortable if that's really uncomfortable for you, in baby steps. I'm a huge believer in baby steps. So just start small and continue to build that muscle. But then also realize that, you know, when you're making new friendships or getting more in that space, that you can love people, but trust has to be earned. And that has to be earned over time, not just through words, but by actions. And that's something I'm still working on, honestly. So,
And I think, you know, that was great, babe, about the safety, like externally and then internally as well. And, you know, in relationships, I think I help a lot of men with this. And it's just like the classic seeking to understand and also, you know, of course, the listening. But, you know, Rachel's not going to feel safe. Like if she's going through something and she's expressing, or maybe she's just venting, right? I think it can't be said enough, because we may know this as men or just as humans, what I'm about to say. But I think when in the heat of the moment, everything goes out the ears and it's just fight or flight, right? And it's
you know,
if anybody has seen the plastic, you know, it's not about the nail, you know, and the ladies, you know, the woman saying, you know, this is what's going on and this and that. And, you know, men want to fix things. I think it can't be stressed enough that, like, if your partner is going through something, you know, it's just listen and really be empathetic, really seek to understand, because why not? You love this person, whether it's a friend, a business partner, you know, your intimate relationship. You know, we always have this theme of seeking to understand, and also this thing of like, it makes sense. Like even recently, this is coming up for me a lot. So I have I had an argument with a long-term friend / we were getting in a business relationship, and I won't go through it all, but he said some things to me that triggered me, and I was aware of those feelings. But you know, when I just want to seek to understand, when I think about safety, I'm like, you know what? This person has a point. If I was him, I would be feeling the same way. And I don't like to hear that, but I'm going to acknowledge what he said. Like, you know what? You're right. It makes sense as to why you're feeling like that. I would actually feel the same, you know, and wanting him to be heard, or my Rachel to be heard. Like, babe, that makes sense. Like, you know, you're right. You know? And I think that goes a long way, and that's a muscle to practice. Like you said, when in the heat of the moment, you don't want to do that, but you know, why not gamify this? Like we have a game actually with me right tonight that like the first one to own their shit, if we can guess here, is wins. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, so it's this psychological kind of, the ego kind of wins, but doesn't, because we get closer together, because you know, I quote unquote win. If I say something first, Rachel quote unquote wins if she says it, but.
And you know, owning your shit just means anytime, you know, usually when we're triggered or something happens, you know, both people could probably maybe own something, whether it's like, you know what? I really wasn't listening to you when you were talking. And I'm really sorry. Or, you know, like, man, I was being really passive aggressive there and I'm really sorry. Yeah. And that is so freaking hard to do in the heat of the moment.
Or like, I'm being ridiculous right now. Yes. I'm just being ridiculous. Sorry. I'm just super stressed right now. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to say. And I don't, you know, and I think like when you're just real and saying like, here it is, like I'm creating these stories in my head. I know it's not me, but this is what's happening.
Yes.
Then I think the other person's like, oh, wow. Okay. This is real. Like, you're really here. You're really listening. You really care. You're really sharing.
Well, it diffuses everything. Yeah. Like we've had moments.
And there's some safety there though.
Yes.
There's some safety there, right? That foundation.
Yes. So if there is a practical muscle to try and rep, it's owning your shit. Honestly, it diffuses all the emotions so quickly. Yeah. We were in one of the hardest disagreements, arguments, just chapters that we were in, and just you could feel this disconnection building between us. And I was like, how are we going to get through this? And we were using all our individual tools to do it and whatnot.
And she chose this podcast to own her stuff today. So it's so awesome.
There we go. Wait, who gets the point there? Who wins?
I mean, honestly, he got the points on this one.
We were
and it's such a long story, so I don't want to get into the whole thing, but there was a lot of, you know, just a lot of heated emotions, a lot of misunderstandings, and a really complex issue. And in like the heat of the moment, we are just like back and forth, like speaking very passionately to each other. He just takes a deep breath and he's like, I know this sucks right now so bad, babe, but I just want you to know that I'm so grateful for it, because I know that it's going to make us even stronger. And we're going to fall more in love with each other once we figure this out, and we're going to have more understanding. And I'm so sorry we're going through it and it sucks, but I'm just really grateful for it. And I was like, who says that? You know, like, It just diffused everything. And, you know, then he went on to own some of his stuff, and it was just really freaking powerful. I was mind blown.
And Rachel does the same thing, you know, it just depends, right, on the situation. We both do our best, and sometimes it's quick, and sometimes we know that, hey, babe, and we'll communicate, you know, babe, feeling triggered. And we know that if I get triggered, it's my stuff. If she gets triggered, it's her stuff. Mm-hmm. And she knows to communicate with me like, hey, I need some help with this, or I'm going to go to a friend, or I need just to be by myself for a while. And I have to respect that. And she respects that. And I think the communication obviously is the classic like key, of course. But yeah. So there's safety.
With the triggering and like the game of, you know, who's going to win the game. Does it typically happen right then and there? Or do you sometimes like, just like you said, you walk away, you go see a friend, and then maybe the game is won days later?
What's up, biohackers? Are you tired of feeling tired? Maybe you're one to hit the snooze button from time to time and then slam your head straight back on the pillow. With all of the responsibilities that we have to take care of in a given day at work, at home, with our families, with our friends, it's no wonder that we feel tired so often. Maybe you're the kind of person that takes care of a lot of different things and a lot of different people. But if you really stop to think about it, who is taking care of you? One of my favorite strategies is to use Magnesium Breakthrough, an all-natural supplement that helps me to sleep more peacefully and reduce my daytime fatigue by supporting my energy on a cellular level. It even strengthens muscle and improves our heart and brain function. While most magnesium supplements aren't full spectrum, Magnesium Breakthrough is the only magnesium supplement on the market that contains the optimal ratio of all 7 essential types of magnesium. Imagine having the strength and energy to get out of bed every morning and face the day boldly and courageously, to be able to show up as your best self and keep that energy up through the day and into the night. So if you want to feel more energized and get the best night's sleep you've had in perhaps forever, check out bioptimizers.com/biohackerbabes and use the promo code biohackerbabes10. Again, that is bioptimizers.com/biohackerbabes and the promo code biohackerbabes10. You will be amazed at how much better you feel by taking Magnesium Breakthrough. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think everything looks different. And I think this is huge when it comes to, you know, conflict resolution in general, is that everybody is different and we need different things, and different things work at different times for different people.
Yeah.
There are some things like tools, whether it's, you know, taking a deep breath or seeking to understand or, you know, checking in about safety and heard and loved, that can sometimes just work in that moment. Other times, you know, it could be way more challenging. And, you know, I will usually communicate, because it's also really important to know that when you feel triggered, I said that we are blind, deaf and dumb. And it's true. There is this like flood of adrenaline that rushes through our bodies that really doesn't enable us to see things very clearly.
Yeah.
As someone who, you know, grew up dancing and movement is a big tool for me. A lot of times, like, I need to say, I really just need to go outside and move and work on me for a minute before we continue the conversation. And, you know, he has to be able to respect that. And, you know, he tells me something that he needs to go do, like he needs to go talk to someone about it. That's not me. Like, I have to be able to respect that. And sometimes that's hard, because sometimes, you know, one person might be like, no, I need to figure it out right now. It really is this beautiful dance between knowing how to communicate what you're feeling from a space of love, being able to set healthy boundaries, and then also being able to respect the other person's boundaries if they're different from yours.
And even though it's hard, though, the mindset for me is just like, I'm just so grateful that there's a communication of like, hey, I need time by myself. I need to talk to somebody. It's like, you know, we're growing through life together, and there's going to be the ups and downs. And I think those times when we are triggered, we truly do see them as gifts. It's just another opportunity to find out what hasn't been healed within us yet. You know, if you think about a trigger, it's like striking a tuning fork. Like something happened and there's a resonance inside, and it's like, whoa, what is happening? And there's, because there's something that hasn't been healed yet. And when you truly have been healed yet, if that same situation were to occur, there's nothing striking it. There's no tuning fork there. There's nothing. They're like, oh, wow. You're at a different playing field, a different awareness to see like, oh my gosh, you know, like if somebody hurt you, for instance, right? Like hurt people. And if you're at a higher awareness, you're not getting triggered. You're like, man, this person, there's compassion there, like sending love to that person. They must be going through something. It's not about me. And, you know, those things take time, and there's muscles, right? So obviously, just like anything else, we see it as a muscle. If you're at the gym picking up 25 pounds over time, you can pick up 35, 45, 50. Same thing with this, right? The time, if you can see this, right? Like you know, you may get triggered and you might kind of go below baseline, and it may take a long time to then get back up to par, to baseline. Mm-hmm. But the more that you rep this, you know, yeah, it can be quicker and quicker to resolve, because look, time is everything, whether it's in your business and your relationship. Time is like the number one asset. We can't get that back. Mm-hmm. And so we know the importance of time. And it's like, now we're to the point where like, look, babe, I'm happy to own my stuff now, because I'd rather be connected. I'd rather have heaven on earth. I'd rather be peace at peace with myself and Rachel. Like, it's just not worth it. And so obviously it took a lot of pain and suffering and reps in the mental, emotional gym, but it does get better. It can get better, because we do see it as a muscle. And it's not about like, oh, we're perfect, because, you know, new levels require different things. Maybe a lot more heavier weight, if you will. But yeah, it can be better, you know? And I think at Relationship Renegades, we're a renegade for a reason. I think there are stories in the collective consciousness that they say like, oh, relationships are hard. Oh, when you have kids, it's this. Oh, you were digital nomads? You couldn't do it with kids, man. Good thing you didn't do it with kids. There's just like stories.
Constructs,
You know, and it's not to say that like relationships aren't challenging. It can be challenging. But they can also be peaceful, playful, fully alive, and heaven on earth. And I think we're renegades because we want to ask people, right? Like, what do you feel is impossible in relationships? And how can we make that possible? Because that's just like anything, right? The 4-minute mile before it was a 4-minute mile. Before we were like, hey, we're going to fly in the air all over the world. What are you kidding me? Fly in the air?
Not possible.
Not possible.
Yeah.
It's possible, right? We're going to have a phone in our pockets, transacting business all over the world. That's impossible. Well, it's possible. So I think like Renegade is really like going against the grain. What is impossible in your mind, in our minds, about children, marriage, dating, relationships? And how can we renegade that? How can we choose differently? How can we think about a different narrative that maybe can help us flourish in life and relationships?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Rachel, you said early on that we're pattern makers. And I think that's why we fall into that, right? Because we just know what we know. And so we cycle through the same narratives constantly. And I've had this question in the back of my mind since we started. I think the most curious thing, maybe not the most, a very curious thing about relationships is like the different movies that we each have in our minds, how like the realities cannot align when you're in relationship romantically or with friends. And I think the analogy is like, oh, I think that color is purple and you think it's blue. It's like, we see through a different lens. What are like some actionables to kind of reconcile and understand that we're always going to have kind of our own lens and perspective? Like, we can't really argue, no, it was this way, because we can acknowledge that we each see, feel, and hear things differently. How do you approach?
I love that question so much. I think the first thing to do is to communicate about it. Like, communicate the way in, you know, it would be helpful to have a safe space, whether it's a friendship or a partner, you know, to be able to work to create a safe space together where you're able to sit down and really communicate how your stories, your belief systems, how you see the world, like, and give examples of like, hey, when this happened, this is how I perceived it. You know, you know, you could weave in, obviously, love language is probably a big part of this. Like, how somebody actually feels and receives love can be very different from someone else. And it's as powerful as if you have two people that are speaking completely different languages. Like, one person is speaking Spanish and the other person is speaking French, and they are not the same. You can't understand each other until. What I do think real love is the capacity and the desire, because you love that person so much, to literally learn their language. Like, if you're speaking French in your love language, you are learning Spanish.
Better learn French. Yeah,
exactly. Like, and vice versa. And I think if you don't have that desire or that to do so, then I would really question, I would question yourself a lot. But it is that different, the way that we feel and receive love when it comes to our love languages. So I think that's, I would definitely start there.
And I love that you brought up realities, because that's another big thing that we talk about a lot, like these realities versus actualities. Because everyone walking around is living in their own world with their own perceptions about everything. Yes. And I think what's really powerful is, and this even goes with triggers or gifts, now moving to realities versus actualities, it's like the number one human impediment is that we as humans live in our heads. Mm-hmm. Constant ego-centered, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, or maybe I'm better than someone, mm-hmm. mentalities. And so, or in the past, which is depression, future, anxiety, and never in the present moment. We're trying to be best to be in the moment, right? Because that's all that exists. Well, yes, we know that, but it's like the simple thing, right? The powerful reminder of like, well, if, just simply put, if we're up here in the head, mm-hmm. then I'm not here. And if I'm literally up here in my head, creating a story of what I think is in front of me, or whether this is blue or purple, and I'm in my head, mm-hmm. then I'm not in the moment. If I'm not in the moment, I'm not seeing the actuality of things, even in relationship. Like, I may think I know Rachel. What, am I just going to be like, I know Rachel for the next 80 years. I already know her. I already know who you are, Renee. I already know you, Lauren. Like, it doesn't allow me or you to have this beautiful, prosperous tree, the growing of a tree, right? Like, mm-hmm. we try to practice always removing what I believe you to be, Renee, or you, Lauren, or Rachel, or my friends or business partners, and allowing, like, am I really seeing the person in front of me? Yeah. Am I really seeing the person, place, or thing in front of me? Because usually it's the reality based on the programming. Yeah. It's usually up in the head of who I think this person is, what the color is. And if I just surrender to that, let go, be like, and get curious like a kid.
Yes.
Wow, I'm going to be in wonder and awe and curious. Ooh, I'm actually curious about you.
Really?
And I think through curiosity also helps create safety. Also yes. creates kind of this like, this great connection, these warm relationships. Like, this person actually cares about me. This person actually wants to see me fully. And I think that really helps, right? Because I want to see actuality of the color, of the mountain, of the tree, of the person. And I think it's such a beautiful way to live that we try to practice as much as we can. And I think that also helps when it comes to relationships flourishing of all kinds.
And what, just tagging on to what he said, I think it's so important to remember that both when we're triggered, we're blind, deaf, and dumb, but also our judgments yeah. blind us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are blind to the actuality of what's going on. All we're seeing is our quote unquote version of it, which is not the full truth. And so any judgment you have about anybody, and we are just judgment makers. Humans are walking yeah. through the world making judgments all the time. Because
like, it creates safety, right? I mean, there's like
kind of false sense of safety. You know what's interesting is that, you know, part of our mission is also to help people really see, you know, I think a lot of, especially in the biohacking space or wellness space, it's very much like, oh, it's meditation, it's journaling, it's technology, it's all these things, which are all great.
Yeah.
But there's this other side of things that these ancient tools like acting and storytelling, like creativity, like play, like sound and singing, like dancing. Mm-hmm. These are all ancient tools that people have been using since the beginning of time. Yeah. To be able to process powerful emotion, to be able to connect with other people. And yeah. I think, you know, what we, as especially as actors, entertainers, and filmmakers, are really trying to bring this invitation to people to start reframing the way that they see those things. Because our society has made it about like how good you are and how you look and being perfect at it. And you have to be good at it to do it. When, you know, dance. And sound, whether it's singing or screaming, is so therapeutic. Also, just playing characters. Like, yeah. even if you didn't want to be an actor at all, but you're like, I want to try something else and you didn't want to go to therapy, go to an acting class. Like, it is so, you learn so much about yourself.
It's true.
And it's also one of the most powerful forms of meditation because, like, when I'm doing a scene as an actor, I am in a completely different headspace. Most of our thoughts center around our own thoughts, our own struggles, our own worries, and it just spins. I have gone into, you know, practicing auditions, like feeling so like, oh, I hate life, you know, just so like not there, not wanting to do it, not wanting to face the day, anything. And then I practice this audition and I get myself in the zone and I come out of it feeling so freaking blissful. And I think there's something to that. I just really hope that people get curious about that invitation.
Yeah.
Try it out.
I love that you brought up the acting. It's like, you know, Rachel's been acting, you know, she has an incredible story, right? When she moved to Hollywood when she was 18, pursuing a dream, like landed at all these things, right? She's been, 50 plus TV mm-hmm. film. Well, and it's a long story. We don't have to get into it, but like I got into acting in 2020 And it's been awesome in a lot of ways, growing in a lot of ways, kind of like what Rachel said. But it was very interesting to me, because when we were talking about how the number one human impediment is that we live in our heads, right? It's almost like, to me, it started to really look like non-actors, just people walking around, were like the actors, and the actors were actually real people. And I'll dissect that really quickly. It was because, you know, for safety reasons, Lauren, or for any other reason, right? We're in our heads creating a story in the past, because our stories are running us, or we're hoping, wishing, praying of what's going to happen in the future, or we're judging someone or whatever it is. We're in the head, right? And what I found out, which I thought was so beautiful with taking acting class and all these things, is they have to be so in the moment by moment by moment. Like, you say something to me, Lauren or Renee, and I have to like be so raw and real of like, whoa, that made me feel this way. And I have to react to it. Like, it's just moment by moment interactions. And if you think about the A-list celebrities, actor winning awards, like such things, they're not actors. If you're trying to cry or trying to be this kind of persona actor, it comes across as like, yeah, that guy looks like he's acting. It's the thing that standing ovation, the thing that's like, whoa, that was so real, is because they were being real. They were literally in the moment, not acting their character. It, like, acting is, to me, not acting. It's literally just being so raw, real, human.
Present
moment by moment. So
vulnerable,
it was so
vulnerable, like so vulnerable.
Yeah. So it was so interesting and beautiful to like kind of see it that way and then practice that more and more, whether it's in the auditions or in daily life of like, hey, am I being an actor or non-actor? Like, am I being the real person? Am I really? Yes. And it was just such a cool way of thinking.
And real, just to tag on that. I'm thinking about the way that most humans live their life. We are all wearing masks. We're all playing parts. We're playing this character that we created that we think is us. And most of the time it's so far from who we maybe our real authentic self. And Jim Carrey says a really amazing quote that he often says. He's like, depression is actually deep rest, like deep rest. From the characters that you've been playing your whole life that are actually not you at all. And this happens so much in relationships and dating, because or friendships, like regardless, people, and I had this story big time, and it led to so many crazy situations and really unhealthy relationships. Same. Where I so badly wanted love that I would do anything, say anything, be whatever they wanted me to be, so that they would like me. And I was so scared of saying how I actually felt, because I didn't want to hurt them, or I didn't want to lose them, or I didn't want to be alone, like all this stuff. And I had to go on my own hero's journey to like feel all the pain that whatever I had to go, you know, feel, where I got so bad that I had to finally say like, enough is enough. I cannot do this anymore. This sucks. And it is more painful to live this way than it is to actually dive in and see who I really am and authentically do my best to authentically live it. But that is a true hero's journey to go on. And I also think it happens at different chapters of life, especially as women, because we really go through one. We're cyclical beings. We're different, every four different versions of ourselves every freaking month. And learning how to, you know, deal with that, but like optimize that is a whole thing. And then to like, and then at different chapters of life, whether, you know, male or female, and going into motherhood or all different things that maybe women go through or men go through, these chapters of life where someone might get stuck in a past identity that isn't who they are now, or they're, you know, it's just a lot.
So much honor and respect for the women given that and everything else. Like, my gosh.
Thank you for that. It's Renee's turn to talk, but I have to respond about acting and theater, because I grew up as, I've been a performer my whole life, and I've done theater. So doing 8 shows a week, this just becomes so revealing when you see someone running on this program and doing the exact same thing 8 shows a week. And they're not exactly, like you said, not responding, like they're just kind of stuck in this programmed cycle that's not real. And so that's kind of a pet peeve of mine, to not be in the moment. You see that on the street in everyday life. And I don't mean to make this whole podcast about safety, but I think it is like this protective mechanism. Like, if I just keep doing the same rigid thing all the time, that like illusion of safety. But you're right. Like, if we can just breathe and be present,
then we have more real, honest, and raw experiences. Yeah. But it's like, how do we get over ourselves enough to go like, it's going to be okay.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe I can only speak for myself, right? Like the hardest, craziest, life altering, all these different experiences in my life have been the biggest blessings. If I look back and like, wow, that taught me this, that got me here, that went, sent me to read that book, to send me to this conference, this intensive, to this whatever biohacking, you know, conference, all these different things. And so I feel like, well, if I know that and I remind myself about that, and if I'm true to myself, like, okay, I'm not gonna create safety, I'm gonna just love myself enough to be truly myself. And then if that hurts somebody, if that triggers somebody, to have this realization that, oh, that's a gift. Because if I say something and I'm being 100% loving and saying my truth, and everyone has their own truth, and honoring that, and if that triggers somebody, great, wonderful. Because guess what? That
opportunity.
I'm so triggered, I'm going to go talk to my friend about this. And they talk like, oh my God, you should read that book. And then that book lends them to that conference, and that conference leads them to this, which leads them to then finding the relationship of their dreams. But it wouldn't have happened if the domino didn't get kicked with the trigger. So yeah. I think like, we owe it to ourselves and others that like, if we all are walking each other home, you know, being yourself, don't be afraid to hurt someone. Like not in a bad way, right? Guys, like just like if something gets triggered or something like that, it's like, hey, I'm just loving myself to share my truth. And I think that goes a long way.
Yeah. Rather than walking on eggshells, like we never know what may be brought to us or where we'll go.
Yeah.
This is interesting timing because my husband just had a really crazy interaction with a coworker yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I will say Ryan definitely triggered this coworker. Mm-hmm. And Ryan was standing up for himself. He was saying what he felt needed to be said. And this guy was just very triggered, ended up hanging up on him, calling higher ups at the company. Like the whole thing is blowing up. So like my question is, what if you trigger someone and they're not aware of this work or this idea of, you know, to trigger being a gift? Yeah. And now Ryan feels like terrible. He feels like a terrible person because he triggered this person that's really upset. Mm-hmm. But he also doesn't feel like he should apologize because he said what he wanted to say. So it's like, what do you do if you trigger someone and it blows up like that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I mean, I have a very real recent story with this. And it was actually it was a very hard thing to go through. And it was something with my brother. It was, you know, an intimate, very intimate relationship. And, you know, I had done something, it was basically the same story. I had done something that I felt good about, super triggered him. I mean, it was a hard decision I had to make, but it really triggered him. He didn't want to speak to me for months, you know, like, and I don't want to get into it, the whole thing, but whoo, it was rough. It was really rough. But I think, you know, sometimes we do have to allow space and time for things to unfold. And throughout that time, I really was aware of like, oh man, I'm feeling all this stuff in me, like anxiousness, kind of sick to my stomach. Like it was not good. And every day I would seek to my tools, whether it's breath work or, you know, journaling or dancing or, you know, hitting a bag or singing out, like screaming, I would do, or parts work or whatever it was, you know, I was just reaching in all my tools in my toolbox to like navigate, knowing that like, okay, this has happened. Can't change the past, even though my mind wanted so badly. Like, oh, if I would have done this different, like it would have been. And your mind can go down all these different paths. But the constant reminder of like, this is happening. I am in the cold plunge right now. Like, how am I going to handle it? How am I going to show up? And I love thinking about, you know, what would my higher self do? What would my future self do? How would they view this situation? You know, we can't ever control anybody else's responses ever. Like, and that's not our job. Yeah. And it's really hard to really own that and not let the monkey mind like take over and realize that these feelings that we're feeling are very real. They're wired into us through tribalism, because if you didn't agree with the tribe, you got kicked out, right? And then if you got kicked out, you died. So it's really this deep survival mechanism where we want people to like us. We want people to not think bad of us. And so I constantly had to remind myself of that and to do my different tools every day. and to continue to ask for guidance and to really check in, like, am I really showing up in the way I want to show up? Am I really speaking my truth? Am I really getting curious about how he's feeling and seeking to understand? And am I creating a safe space? And even though maybe I don't feel that like I need to apologize in this moment for this thing, is there something else in my past that maybe I had, because also things, especially in whether it's friendships, family relationships, intimate relationships, things compound over time. And a lot of times we don't realize that those things are compounding. And what sets off another trigger could have been a series of things beforehand. And so I had to check in, and for me in my story, it was after some space and time of asking him questions, seeing if he wanted to talk or if he wanted space, you know, like I can be here for you. If you want to talk about it, I can also give you space. What do you need? He needed some space. So I had to like, just give him some space. And I had to do my own work to manage my own emotions during that chapter. And then after some time, I got some different downloads, aha moments that like, man, I really actually feel like I do want to apologize about some other stuff that was coming up in from our past and really seek to understand a little bit more. And, you know, I ended up saying some things to him about completely different situation, and it ended up really healing the whole situation. And we were able to be way closer than we ever had been before, because we understood each other on a level. And that's what's so cool. And I can't stress that enough, is that is the gift, is this deeper level of understanding and connection and love and bliss on a level that is just so much more. It is the after effect of the cold plunge that you get. And it's magical. You just really usually have to go through, you have to go through it first to be able to feel it after.
Yeah. And just to tag along on one thing you said. Yeah. I think the surrender aspect again, everyone is on their own journey. And we can't save people. I had a huge savior complex based on how I grew up. And that was one of my biggest of the many breakthroughs, you know, with the work to become, just to have better relationships. And I think it's like, yeah, to surrender to like, the only thing I control is how I react and how I want to show up. And I think I can only speak for myself. I don't know the full situation, Renee, but like, I have to always question myself. Like when I triggered somebody, was I coming from a place of ego that I'm right and I need to express this, that, or the other? Or was I coming, when I think about like, how can I be my full expression of myself and authentic to me? It would be being in a state of love. That, mm-hmm. And how do I fill myself with love? You know, I will, you know, take some time to breathe. I will think about my nephew, my sister, my mom, Rachel, people that I love in my life, and really like feel the love just take over. And really have that like embodied. And from that place, if I say something to a person and that triggers somebody, I know that I did my part. I came from a state of love. Now, if I don't come up from a state of love, then there's an ego aspect of things. And I have to check myself. Like, you know, did I say something that, regardless if I'm right or wrong, was it a place of non-love and there's this interaction? Because the way that I choose to live and we choose to live is, we believe that love, you know, as cheesy as that may sound, is what is the fertile soil that will grow the tree of relationships, of your life, of your growth. And if we're about to make a call or say something, it's like, I always practice it and I'm not always great at it, but how can I get into that place and come from that place? Because if I'm not coming from that place, then things can get messy. And then I always have to do checking myself, like, hey, do I need to go back and say something? Do I go own my shit or just allow the river to do what it needs to do and just surrender to that? Mm.
Great, yeah. Great insight and advice on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think it comes, please go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think this really leads into a little challenge that we wanted to offer and invite your audience to, that we're about to start soon. It's called the 1-2-3 challenge. And when we're talking about like proactive practices, there's such
3-3-3.
Yes. What did I say?
3-3-3
challenge. That it's literally just a proactive practice that you can do every day. And we're saying, you know, to really try to do this for 30 days. And if people want to do this with us, they can just email us about it. But it's something that we practice and it's been so monumental with us is, so you blast music. First step is you blast music and you spend 3 minutes dancing just in your house by yourself. Be as ridiculous as possible and feel what that feels like to be silly and playful. So 3 minutes dancing. The next step is 3 minutes breath work. And whether you're doing this with yourself or with a partner, either way, and we have a breath work that we love, that we can also send people, but it's 3-3-3 for a reason. Again, it's baby steps because we believe in starting small. And if you're there and you're loving, you're having a great time, do more, but commit to three so that you actually do it and you don't let something else do instead. And then the third step is 3 minutes of eye gazing. And eye gazing is so powerful, can be very uncomfortable for people. And whether you're doing this with yourself or with a partner, you can do it in the mirror with yourself, which is also very powerful, and or with any partner. Mm-hmm. And that eye gazing is really important to, it looks like this. So you literally just like look at each other and there's no talking, there's no laugh. I mean, you know, obviously different people respond different ways. So laughter might come up, but then try and get back to a state of non-laughter. But it's left eye to left eye, and your left eye is your receiving eye. So it's just, you know, some really cool stuff behind looking left eye to left eye. Mm-hmm. And you just look at each other for 3 minutes.
Yeah. There's a lot that can be said without words, and so words can be limited. And, you know, it's so powerful. I'm writing a book about this. I've been studying it for years. And I remember like 6-7 years ago, I was in Utah. Funny that Utah keeps coming up and now that we moved here. But there was this mental health clinic that, you know, had like multi-million-dollar product services, technologies, moving the needle in mental health for like severe depression, PTSD, anxiety, people going through a lot of stuff in their life. They had all walks of life, all different ethnicities. Like it was a great place. And it was at this mental health gala that Rachel and I were a part of. And I remember having a deep conversation at the end of the night with the CEO and founder. And I remember him telling me, he's like, about all the products and scans and this and that and the other, and they were all important. But he's like, you know what the number one thing that actually moves the needle, or like that actually like was breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough? And I was like, what was that? And he's like, eye gazing. And he's like, have you heard of it? And I was like, yeah, actually. And at that time I had done it maybe like 1.5 to 2 years with men's groups and things like that. And I was like, I love eye gazing. It's been very powerful for me. And he continues to go up. He's like, well, we do it for 5 minutes at a time. And he's like, we've been doing this for years. And he's like, no matter the sex, ethnicity, age, whatever, everybody breaks down. And they were collecting data over years trying to figure out like, what was it that had people break down over and over and over. And so they started doing different surveys and questionnaires and getting feedback from people and interviewing them and everything. And as they collected it for years, there was a main through line. And that main through line was that everybody, these humans, these earthlings that we all are, they said that it was the first time in their entire life that they felt seen. And so along with our theme, right, if we talked about safety and does this person feel safe, do this person feel seen, heard and loved, right? These huge elements that if we practice, like we talked about connection, fitness, how can we switch around our routines and habits as biohackers for health span and longevity? Now knowing Harvard did this and it's 80 plus years and it's like, oh, it's relationships, relationships, relationships. How can we tweak some things, whether it's with the 333 challenge or anything else that we talked about, to have time in the day to rep that so that we can have better relationships with ourselves, others, world around us. And I think it's just it's so crazy, right? It's so simple that, you know, connecting with somebody, really looking at somebody and not needing to say anything can be so profound. And it's just cool that like research and science and facilities like theirs and more are like capturing this and like, okay, well, let's, how can we put this together? So that's why we wanted the 333 challenge.
Yes. And there's it's so wild how many times, you know, no matter how many times I've done it beforehand, you always feel this bit of resistance. And I always love to tell people like, well, expect resistance, like welcome it. Yeah, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Anytime you're doing something that's a little bit uncomfortable, you will feel it. And the more you like frame it for yourself of like, and I talk to my stuff all the time. I'm like, okay, fear. Okay. Resistance. I feel you. I hear you. Yeah. Like, it's okay to be here. You have a space here. Like, I'm grateful for you, but you're not driving the show. Like, you can hang out in the back, but like, I have to drive. And so, and I think that's also really important too, to create. For most of my life, I try to like push away and I have to like overcome all my stuff. Mm-hmm. And a really big part for me was learning how to make space for all of our stuff, our fears, our anxieties, they play a really important role in our lives. And so rather than trying to be like, I'm going to be fearless. No, like you always have fear, like learn how to dance with your fear, mm-hmm. not like suppress and deny. Cause when you just suppress and deny, it will get louder and louder and louder. So anyways, I just always love to talk about expect yeah. it. It will be there. Learn how to dance with it.
Yeah.
And but,
yeah.
jump in.
Yeah. But these are the proactive, yeah. right? You yes. really try to be proactive and prepare for the inevitable waves of life. Like if you're proactive about this, just like we are about our brain health and physical health and gut health, like because we're taking certain vitamins or nutrition or, yes. you know, certain technologies that we're doing daily, right? Like to be proactive about this connection fitness with ourselves and others, I think it can go a long way. And it's great that science is starting to prove that out.
Yeah. I love with the emotions, like dancing with it, because I love thinking about emotions. It's like, they're not good and bad. They're going to be there. And I've definitely experienced, like, if you do suppress an emotion, it will just, it'll bubble up at some point. So I love what you said about dancing with the different things. Sorry, I learned it. To cut you off.
Yeah, I know. We have so many things to respond to. And I love that about you driving in the car, like the parts work. It's like, if you get to know your managers and your firefighters, there's more ease, right? So mm-hmm. Such a huge lesson I learned from today is like this, seek to understand can apply in so many different ways. And then I just wanted to say about the eye gazing. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but I've done it in many situations with strangers and you instantly are like, oh, that's my friend now. Like we're friends. We didn't say anything, but like, I know you, I trust you. I feel safe.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Wow. Big fan. So awesome. Yeah.
Well, if anybody wants to, we're gonna start a whole group thing about it. So if anybody of your listeners wants to join, they can just email us 333 challenge.
Amazing. Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. What's your drop your email in and we'll put it in the show notes?
Oh yeah. It's just relationshiprenegades@gmail.com.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely put all that in the show notes. Well, yeah. I feel like the 333 is such a great, like, tangible piece of advice, because we always like to close out with like, well, what can people start doing right away? I feel like that's a really good one for everyone, but I'm going to still throw it back to you. Is there anything else you really want people to walk away with today that like, hey, I'm going to start doing this today to optimize my health, well-being, relationships, anything?
Yeah. Let me think. So many.
It's okay. If not, I just,
well, I mean,
I'll be like that. I mean, along with, I really hope people join us in our 333 challenge, as it is so freaking powerful and it's so simple.
Yeah. Sets the stage for the day. Yeah.
You know, and anyone listening to you, I think, you know, if you've listened this far and you're like, man, but I wanted like the quick pill. I wanted the thing that's like, just going to give me, I wanted the technology that's just going to like, give me the thing that I want. And I just hope that you get curious about that, because I had that for so long and it took a good amount of struggle to get me to be like, oh, there's more to this. But I think if there's anything that you could do is play, like play more. I think we really overlook this element of play. You know, one of our morning routines is literally called morning shenanigans.
Oh yeah.
And it is to pick up. Like the one goal is to make the other person laugh, but you have to keep a straight face
and say the most ridiculous things,
like just
that don't make sense or that are crazy.
Yes. And just this concept of like waking up with play, you know, waking and laughter, up and to create, find ways to create your own joy. So many times I think we're so focused on everything else and being adult and being serious. And like, I have to like, you know, hit all my marks. I think play is really underrated and overlooked, because it also gets us in that state, especially if we're doing other people, where our body is just aging less and it's able to heal and do all these beautiful things. It has like more energy and capacity to do all the beautiful things it's supposed to do. So
play. The deep belly laughs of play and all that, 100%. And I need to be, you know, I can get certainly challenged with that at times. And Rachel's really good about, you know, getting me to dance in the middle of meetings or whatever, and just letting it all out. Or just because I come from corporate world, I feel like it's a past life of mine, but I was in the office crunching numbers like for 10 plus years. Like it's a practice to like, no, I do deserve to play. This is life. It's passing by. I'm going to be 90 years old, like in a blink of an eye. Like I should enjoy myself, others, and this world that we have, and that there is so much beauty around if we choose to look at that and focus on that. So I love that, babe. And, you know, I was trying to see if anything different came up for me or what was coming up in the present moment. Nothing was coming out, but you know, given that we were talking about, you know, the emotions and it'll bubble up later on, or, you know, being in the car and who's the manager and all that kind of stuff. You know, when we talked about one of the big themes of like triggers are gifts, and, you know, we have a whole workshop and stuff that dissects why that is and how to, you know, go about it and programs on this and all that stuff. But one practical tool that Juan Pablo talks about, you know,
trigger translator is Juan
Pablo. I'm her trigger translator. Yes. And it's this
Latin
lover, like, yes. And I get really excited when she's like doing the work, you know. And one thing that I tell her as her trigger translator is, you know, it's three simple things. So first thing is, when you get triggered, the three steps is to smile, to say, there's me doing it again, and then to feel the feelings. And a quick deepening of those is, the reason why are we smiling? The reason why we're smiling is because it's simple to do. Oh, it's very simple. It's right away. It's the pattern interrupt. I get triggered, I smile. Well, when you smile, you're talking to a lot of the chemical and biological things of, like, you're smiling. There's some benefits to that. But also, it's like loving kindness for yourself, because a lot of times in our self-development journeys to better our connections with ourselves and others and relationships, we can beat ourselves up. We're like the worst critic, and we like beat ourselves up. And that is just downward spiral. So, you know, loving kindness, catching it, being aware right away, smile. Second thing is, you know, internally or externally, if you're in the car, you can say it out loud, or if you're by yourself, but, you know, saying internally or externally, there's me doing it again. The more specific, the better. Like, there's me being passive aggressive again. There's me, being so impatient. There's me not letting this other person talk. Whatever it is, saying it. And what that's doing is, those are the reps, right? That's the mental and emotional gym. That's like the observer getting like, oh, look at me over here doing this stuff, right? And the more that we become aware, the more that we can look at it and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to turn left anymore. I see it so bright. It's so bright now that your decision point is increased the more reps. And you're like, whoa, I have more decision. I'm not reacting. Let's go right now. Right. And so there's me doing it again, the rep for the awareness. And then last but not least, welcoming the emotions, right? Like you said, Renee, it'll bubble up. It's like holding on, hiding, distracting, suppressing our emotions is like holding a beach ball underwater. And we're holding so many beach balls underwater. And it's literally, in a biohacking sense, taking energy away from us.
Yes.
Because we're holding all these beach balls. I'm like, oh my God. And once you just welcome the feeling, you sit with yourself and say, oh, anger, oh, and feel it, whatever the emotion is.
Yes.
When you feel it, it doesn't want to be there anymore. It's like, I'm out. It'll dissipate. It's just energy. It's just data. And when you feel it, it'll process through. It will leave your system. And then you're at a place where you can take a deep breath, reset, and then go on along your day. So smile, there's me doing it again, and welcoming those emotions, saying, I'm glad you're here.
Great advice. I'm glad that came to your brain to close it out. Awesome. You guys are amazing. I just, like I said, when we started the episode, I love what you're doing, and definitely everyone listening, go email them, do the 333 and follow them on Instagram. Cause you guys have the best Instagram. All your pages. I always love when like a new reel pops up. You guys are just like bringing such humor and fun to some sticky things in people's lives. So I appreciate all that you're doing.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're so grateful for you and the work that you're doing.
Yes.
I mean, it's just so important.
Yes.
And yeah, huge fans, huge advocates for Biohacker Babes. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we really wanted to also offer your audience, you know, we really haven't done this before, and we'll see how it goes if we do it again with any other podcast. But we really just wanted to offer as much value as we possibly could, because we do everything that we do because we've been through it.
Yeah.
When we say we've been through the 10,000 toxic relationships and the hero's journey to get here, we are very serious.
Yeah. It's been 10,000.
Literally.
It's crazy.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Figure of
maybe
speech. Figure of speech,
yeah.
But it really is. It's been a lot to get here. And oftentimes I just wish so badly that people could really understand how far we've come, like where we've come from and how different we are. My past relationships
would
look at me and be like, how the hell do you have a relationship, Brand? You know what I mean? Like, it is wild.
Yeah.
So I mean, I've heard you guys speak, you know, other times about past relationships and some of the things you have experienced and been through. It is pretty wild. So thank you for sharing all that.
100%, because I, you know, really just want to give people hope that it is possible. And no matter where you're starting from, you can heal and you can learn, you can grow and you can create whatever life you want to create. And I'm a huge believer of that, of proactively cultivating belief, because the first step is belief. If you don't believe it's possible, then it's not. And if you can learn how to cultivate that belief by surrounding yourself with the people that have done it, listening to, studying from, reading books, going to conferences, like reframing, rewiring all that stuff over and over and over again, and proactively cultivate that belief, is powerful. It changes the whole trajectory, the whole of your, what you're able to create in life. So wrapping that all up, because of our pain and purpose stories and how passionate we are, we really just want to give as much value as possible and help as many people as possible. So we wanted to offer your listeners literally a free breakthrough session with us. So 30-minute free breakthrough session with us. If you're interested, if you want to, again, just email us at relationshiprenegades@gmail.com, free breakthrough. And we'll send you the link to schedule the free breakthrough session. Like no strings attached, no BS. We're not trying to upsell people. Like it's literally just like, want
to
help.
Here to help and serve. And and if they're interested in anything, we can point them in the right direction. There's lots of branches to Relationship Renegades, but if not, no big deal. We got a chance to serve somebody, and we know that ripples throughout humanity in such a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And this is for singles, couples that are maybe going through a challenging time, that are maybe stuck with something, or, you know, maybe not sure about certain tools or ways of seeing things in relationships, or so anything that you maybe, if you're going through some type of pain, you know, with yourself, others, or your relationships, we'd love to help. And so let us know. What's the email again?
You probably said it. Thank you. Alrighty. Just email us free breakthrough, word, free breakthrough, to our email, relationshiprenegades@gmail.com.
Love to meet you.
Awesome. Thank you for offering that. That is so, so amazing of you guys. And we'll put that in the show notes so it's easy for everyone to remember.
Well, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for having us. Much love.
So wonderful. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who tuned in. We'll see you next time.
Love this episode of the Biohacker Babes podcast? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We truly appreciate your support.
Until then, happy biohacking.
This podcast offers health, fitness, and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional.